we have been learning much about how the Lord has blessed us. And the Lord's blessings must not be taken for granted at any time. And wonderfully, God has provided in ways that have really, really moved our hearts. And as we talk about the Lord's blessings, be they spiritual, be they eternal, we must also not forget how God has provided for us materially. And I speak of this with great thanksgiving in the heart. Thank God for those who gave. Sometimes a gift of 10,000 would come, which came recently. Another one of thanksgiving of 11,000. And then last week, it was a special gift of 100,000. Now, as we think of all these things, we cannot but praise the Lord and bless the Lord. The question is, how do we bless the Lord, and what does that really mean anyway, to bless the Lord? So as we develop a biblical theology of God's blessings, we have to take note of these things here. One, that's very obviously that it would be the material blessing. Then, of course, there will also be the spiritual blessing. And both are from God. There are blessings, physical, which sometimes the Lord may withhold because we're not quite ready for it. But spiritual blessings are always in abundance because it's always there for us to bless our lives with. But a biblical theology is actually one that is not complete until we consider how we must make appropriate response to God. And so we come across this phrase where the psalmist in Psalm 34, for example, wrote, this is David, and he said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. So we come across this very, very special statement where the psalmist says, I will bless the Lord. But what does that mean, I will bless the Lord? Now, when we speak about God blessing us, the results, the consequences are very obvious. God will provide for our needs. We don't go hungry. God provides for the future. We don't have to worry. God provides for us, and we have enough and more. The blessings are obvious. And they are rich, they are real, and they are precious. But when we say we bless the Lord, we cannot say the same thing. We are not going to make God richer. We're not going to make God better. We can't. So how does this word, what does this word bless really, really mean? I think this is important for us. This is essential understanding. God has the authority to bless. God has the power to make that blessing affect our lives. And our lives are blessed significantly because of that blessing. But when we speak of blessing God, all of those things don't apply. So how do we understand this word here? And this is important for us to understand. See, very much has to do with the word bless in Hebrew. Right? The word bless in Hebrew, in Psalm 34, it's written in Hebrew, it's a very, very special word. It speaks of literally the word ni and the word bless are actually, they share the same root. So when we say we bless the Lord, what it really means, if we take it literally, is that we are bowing the knee in acknowledgement of what God has done. So when we say, I will bless the Lord, it literally means I bow my knee to God and I acknowledge His hand of blessing. Right? When we say we bow the knee, it really means that we have deep gratitude in our hearts as we reflect on the Lord's blessings. And of course, together with the word bowing the knee or bless is the idea of praise. And so in Psalm 34, verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. So the word bless and praise go together. Right? So the praise must be one of humility. The praise must be one where we humbly and gratefully acknowledge God's blessings. And that is absolutely wonderful. Now, that's one of the ideas. A second idea is just as important. It comes from more the idea from the Greek idea, to bless. And that word idea of behind the word blessing is the idea of eulogizing God. Meaning to say that we will find good words to speak. The best words are to be found as we praise God. So we cannot be just a common idea of saying thank you. It's not good enough. It has to do with finding the right words. We are basically going to give what we call high praise to God. Right? This is important for us to understand. So we're giving to God all the glory, all the honor that are His by right. We take no credit whatsoever. We ascribe all credit to God completely. Right? So the idea of giving thanks to God, of praise, is the idea very, very much found in the idea of I will bless the Lord. Okay, but let's take a look at this very carefully. So that is the giving of thanks. The psalmist will speak about singing to the Lord. It can be expressed in the offering of thanksgiving sacrifices. It can be expressed in the idea of bearing witness, of bearing testimony of God's goodness. And of course, they are the prayers of praise. Today, we're going to take a little bit of time to look at Psalm 34 a little bit more closely. And we will see this very, very carefully. What is this that the psalmist is seeking to do when he says, I will bless the Lord at all times? Right? So Psalm 34 is essentially a series of testimonies. Testimonies from himself, the psalmist, testimonies from other people who have found the Lord real and good and wonderful, testimonies of people who are poor, people who are down and out, and yet the testimonies of God are to be included and to be appreciated as well. So to bless the Lord is to bear testimony of the Lord in every sense of the word. Now, the balance of the blessing has to the idea of praise. Right? So I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. At all times, continually will be a match. And so we call this a parallelism. And it's important for us to understand. So I bow the knee, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. It's not one-off, it's not, as we remember, it is a commitment to do this in continually, everyday situation at all times. Now, this is a wonderful way of understanding how we can bless the Lord. Right? Now, tied into the idea of high praise is the idea where he says, my soul shall make its boast in the Lord. Now, sometimes in English, the word boast is like, you know, it's something that is associated with pride, associated with self, is blowing our own trumpet. That's a negative understanding of the word boast. But there really is a positive aspect of the word called boast. And we must take a look at what this is. And this is important. So when we speak about boasting, we are speaking about how we are so taken up with God Our heart, our mind are so filled with God. We cannot but be exuberant about speaking about God. That's the idea of the word boast. So that is the idea of having confidence, the idea of absolute joy and trust in God. The exuberance part of it is so very, very real. So that is the challenge. It is to exult in God. Well, this is what we want to do. And so we have another aspect where the psalmist says, magnify the Lord with me, exalt his name together. So if you put it all together, then you have the idea of how to bless the Lord. Right? So it's not a single idea. The idea of blessing God considers all these aspects of bowing the knee, of praising God, of bearing testimony for God, of making a boast in the Lord, and of magnifying the Lord. Now, the word magnify in English is from small to make big. Now, we can't do that with God because he cannot be made larger when he's already everything there is. But when we speak about magnifying, we speak of exalting God to the place that he deserves. We are not making God greater. We are just declaring that he is the greatest. That is the idea of magnifying. So when we take a look at all the things that God has given to us, how can we not truly praise God with all our hearts? How can we not bless his name at all times? How can we not make a boast in the Lord? How can we not magnify and exalt his name together? We cannot but bless the Lord. And as we enter into the month of August, we should consider how we can really, really praise the Lord's name, exalt his name. We look back at 47 years of the Lord's provision, of the Lord's protection, of the Lord's blessing. We cannot but say and agree with the psalmist, we will bow our knee to the Lord. We will offer high praise to him. We will make a boast in the Lord. We will magnify and exalt the Lord's name in every way we can, personally and as a community of the church. Well, let's take a look at some of the reasons, as it were, why we want to bless the Lord the way the psalmist described it. Well, what are some of the reasons? Well, let's take a look at some of the reasons that we want to take a look at very, very carefully. Okay? The first reason is I sought the Lord and he heard me. And this is so important, right? As we take a look at this thing, I think there are times when we take prayers too much for granted. We pray, and then after we pray, we sort of forget about it. We shouldn't. Because when we make a prayer to God, when we offer a prayer to God, we must actually wait for him, wait for the Lord to see how he will answer. So prayers must be, let me make this prayer, but let me also wait and see what he will do as he hears me. And this is something that we must never take for granted. So when we make a prayer to God, we must wait with bated breath. How God will answer, when God will answer. And that would be a special thing to do. We cannot forget how many times the Lord has heard our prayers as a church and as individuals. People who were sick, people who had job problems, people who had financial difficulties, people with family problems. What was the best thing that could be done? To pray. And we see how God has provided. He has opened doors. He has resolved challenges, difficulties. He has blessed. And so as we think in terms of blessing the Lord, we must remember in full context how God has heard and answered our prayers. And there are many reasons why we must consider this. This is important. Look at other people who offered prayers. Let's consider this, right? This poor man cried out, verse 6, and the Lord heard him. It is just so wonderful to see how the Lord will hear and answer prayers again and again. The Lord heard him. The Lord saved him out of all his troubles. Right? So this is something that we don't want to take for granted. You know, in the Gospels, we see of how the Lord Jesus Christ would receive the requests of the people who come to him. The leper would come to him and say to him, if you will, please cleanse me. And the Lord was moved with compassion. He heard that request and answered it immediately. There was a blind man called Bartimaeus, and he was shouting out to the Lord, crying out, have mercy on me. The rest of the people, annoyed by his loud shouting, told him to keep quiet. But the more they tried to restrain him, the more, the louder he shouted. And the Lord heard him, and the Lord gave him back his sight. We look at example after example after example in the Gospels, in the Scriptures, in our own personal life, and the testimony of all our friends. When we know that God hears and answers prayer like that, how can we not bless his name? How can we not magnify his name? How can we not exalt his name and make our boast in the Lord? We have a God who hears and answers prayer. The story is told of how Elijah the prophet had to face hundreds of false prophets in his time. It was during the time of King Ahab. And there they were. And so the people had literally abandoned God and turned to idols for worship instead. And so Elijah said to the people, how do we know which God to believe in? There were hundreds of prophets out there. There were many idols that were offered. And so he said, the God who answers by fire, let him be God. How do we know what to do? How do we understand? How do we relate to God? I don't like what Elijah said. The God who answers by fire, let him be God. And so the people cried from morning, afternoon, evening sacrifice. They cried out to all the deities that the false prophets named and knew. There wasn't any idea that their prayers were heard at all. And so the false prophets began to cut themselves. They thought that if they cut themselves, hurt themselves, injured themselves, maybe the gods will be inclined to hear them. But they bled for nothing. The gods that they worshipped could not hear, could not answer. And so it was now Elijah's turn to pray. It was during evening time now. And so, he said to the people, I'm going to make a sacrifice. And the God who, the God who answers by fire, let him be God. And so as he looked at the sacrifice, he said to the people, let's make it very hard. And so he asked the people, pour water on the sacrifice. Now that is just not done. How do you pour water on a sacrifice and hope that it will be received as a burnt offering? It cannot be done. This is not standard practice. So the people did it. And he said, why don't we do it again? So that they all know the sacrifice has literally been completely quenched. A lot of water. It is just completely drenched. And then Elijah prayed. And then he cried out to God. And immediately God answered. And he answered by fire. And the entire sacrifice, though it was just soaked in water, that fire from God clinched it all. Here is a God who hears and answers prayer. And the people cried out, "This is God. This is the Lord." We need to exalt the Lord in the same way. When we pray and God answers our prayer, it must be something that will gladden our hearts. It must be something that we should thank God for. And we can praise His name, make our boasts in the Lord, magnify, exalt the Lord, and truly thank God. Let's not take this for granted. One reason why we can bless the Lord's name is because He has heard our prayers. Right? This is something that we don't want to take for granted. Now, the second word, the second reason. Now, there are many reasons. The second reason is found in verse 4 also, and that is called deliverance. And I think deliverance is something that we also take very much for granted. Right? So you see the things which he had, and there were many. For example, verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers. Right? So you take a look at the word deliverance. Verse 4. Right? We see this. The Lord delivered. And then the idea of verse 6, saved him out of all his troubles, is another way of saying delivered. Right? Well, let's take a look at else that we are looking at. Okay? In verse 17, and we see this. The righteous cry out, and the Lord delivered. And the Lord hears, delivers them out of all their troubles. Right? And verse 18, He saves. Right? So verse 6, verse 18, second part, is the same idea. So the challenge is to look at how God saves and how the Lord delivers. Verse 19, many are the afflictions, but the Lord delivers out of them, Him out of them all. So the idea of it all is so absolutely important, deliverance. And I think that we all understand those fears which are there. Some, you know, students understand a little bit about fears, especially when it comes to near exams. And then there's a desperation, there is a panic, and so we cried out to God for His help, and He is there. Right? You know what? God delivers us out of our fears. Now, this is important. So, deliverance from fears. There are many people who have fear problems. We are fearful of, for example, ill health becomes a fearful thing. And from ill health, it becomes a mental health issue. It's a very short step, one to the next. But the challenge is obvious. There are things that we need to be delivered from. Right? So you see the word deliverance again and again. In verse 7, well, so we see the word deliverance comes up again. The challenge is to ask ourselves what the Lord delivers us out of. He delivers out of all our troubles. Right? So that's another area in which the troubles will be always a part of life. The challenge is to be able to see how God will deliver us out of all our troubles. And He does. Right? Then we talk about what it means for the Lord. There are afflictions. We call that tribulation. And you know what the Lord will do? He will deliver. He has delivered. Maybe our deliverance is not the same as a spectacular as that of the children of Israel living Egypt. But nevertheless, the deliverance of the Lord is something we must never take for granted. And God has delivered us out of all our trouble, our fears, our troubles, our afflictions. You name them. There are so many. The problem is that after the crisis is over, we forget. No, we should not. We should never forget how the Lord has wonderfully blessed and provided for all of us. And as we see how the Lord has delivered us, we are still in the danger of COVID-19. How long it will last, we don't know. Whether we will lose jobs, we don't know. Whether we will have a loss of other things, we don't know. Maybe we will lose life even, we don't know. But we can turn to the Lord with all these troubles and know that He hears and He will answer. Go one step further. He will deliver. But as God delivers, the question is, how do we respond? And this is where the psalmist teaches us, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Now, here is the third reason, and this is absolutely wonderful. We speak about the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear Him. Now, this is something that perhaps we may not really fully understand and comprehend. But we have many examples of how the angel of the Lord would surround His people. And this is where we speak about these things here. How wonderful it is. Well, in the book of Exodus, the story behind the Passover is about how the angel of death will pass over all Egypt. And when the angel of death will come across a house that has blood on its doorpost and on its lintel, that angel of death will pass over that house and the house will be saved. Nobody will die in that house. Well, that is the Lord's word to the children of Israel. But angels have always been there. It is God who made these angels. He made them so that they will be ministering spirits, Hebrews 1:14. God has given angels to protect His own children. And this is a reality that we must not take for granted. And thank God that He does provide for us protection. So angels represent protection. Angels represent an area of work that we perhaps will never fully understand. There are powers that be out beyond our understanding. Paul in Ephesians 6 spoke about how there are principalities and powers that are all around us. We are engaged in a spiritual warfare. And in this spiritual warfare, our human strength will be totally insufficient. But what has God given to us? He is the head of what we call an army, a host. He's called the Lord of hosts, meaning to say there's going to be a lot of angels around. Well, one day there was a story told about how Elisha was around. And he had a servant. And the servant was there attending to him. And the servant was out there. And he said to the master, Elisha, in terror, do you know that we are surrounded? We are completely surrounded by the Syrians. We are in danger. They have come to attack us. They are going to kill us. And so Elisha prayed and said, Lord, open his eyes. And so that servant suddenly began to see that behind the Syrian host was an army far greater, far stronger, far more powerful than that of the Syrians. The Syrians were defeated. One man, but it was not he who actually conquered them. It was simply the Lord who protected. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear Him, and the Lord will deliver. This is a wonderful blessing. Maybe we will not actually see angels, but to me, it is enough to know that God has given us His protecting angels, and He will keep us because we are His. To me, all these things is just reflective of the Lord's promise the Lord's presence, the Lord's power, and everything else that we know ought to gladden our hearts. And as we think of how, look at all these blessings, material, physical, spiritual, eternal, you begin to realize that all these blessings are actually planned and they will be released to us and given to us as we are able to comprehend and handle them. How should we respond to the Lord? We must go back to Psalm 34 and say, I will bless the Lord. Let us truly bow the knee in gratitude. Let us bow the knee in humility. Let us truly bless the Lord at all times. Even if you wake up in the middle of the night, unable to sleep, use that time to bless the Lord. And this is absolutely wonderful. Let us truly bless and say to the Lord, His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Let there be a spirit of praise. This is good, this is right. We should really praise God at all times. Blessing of the Lord must come from the heart sincerely. Blessing of the Lord must come from the heart with great faithfulness, earnestness on our part. And that is how we are going to celebrate a 40 plus 7th anniversary. We are going to give thanks to God. We are going to bless His name. We are going to exalt His name. We're going to magnify His name as we should. And may God help us to do that effectively, do that meaningfully. So as we look forward to celebrating a 40 plus 7th anniversary, it may not be at Shangri-La. It may not even be a full church over here. But deep within our hearts, we must bless the Lord at all times. Let His praise be continually in our mouth. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank You that we can learn lessons of how to bless Your name. Teach us to bow the knee before You. Teach us to give high praise continually at all times. Help us to remember how You have heard our prayers and You are the God who answers. Help us to remember the number of times You delivered us from our fears, from our troubles, from our anxieties, and to praise and thank You. Help us to remember also what it means for You to be there to give us angels to protect us from enemies that are unseen, enemies we don't even understand. But because of their protection, we are kept safe. Help us to bless Your name and to give thanks to You at all times. We ask You to bless in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus, oh.